We're here on the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara raised the possibility of reconciling our Mishnah of Shnayim Ochsim B'Talis Yachlok B'Shvua with Tzumchus. And Gemara thinks that maybe, although Tzumchus does away with Shvua, and he says Yachlok below Shvua, that's only in the case of Shema V'Shema, but in our case of Shnayim Ochsim B'Talis, each toin is putting forth the tainus bari, it's bari ubari, and therefore Shmuel, and therefore even Tzumchus would require a shvua. The Gemara says, but Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says that according to Tzumchus, it makes no difference whether it's bari ubari, whether it's shema v'shema. Tzumchus always insists on yachloku below shvua. And the Gemara says that if in our Mishnah, where there's no Jorad Mamona, and it's possible to say that both of them own it, and certainly we should require a Shvua. We should not require a Shvua. In other words, if Tzumchus says that in the case of Mamona Mutal B'Safek, in a Jorad Mamona situation, we don't require a Shvua, how much more so if there's no Jorad Mamona? And the Gemara says that we can reconcile our Mishnah with Tzumchus based on the insight of Rabbi Yochanan, that our Shvua and our Mishnah is a separate Takanas Chachamim, a separate institution. The Chachamim established the Shvua Kedei Shelo Yehei Kol Echad V'Echad Holech V'Toleich B'Takiso V'Tokev B'Taliso Shel Chaveru. Now the Gemara goes on to analyze the possibility of reconciling our Mishnah with Rabbi Yossi. It seems that there's a sheet of Rabbi Yossi that would certainly contradict our Mishnah. And this is based on Rabbi Yossi quoted in the Mishnah later on in Daf Lamed Zayin. In the case of two people that were mafkid, they left their money in the hands of a custodian. One of them left a mana, the other 200. And when they come to collect their pikdonos, each one of them claims that the 200 was his. According to Chachamim, we give every one of the two a mana, and the mana shlishi is yemunach hachiyov elyo. Rabbi Yossi holds no. In this case, there's a Ramai, definitely a cheater, and he has to be mafsid something. We have to make sure that he loses something. And therefore, the entire sum of 300 zuz will be left munach hachiyov elyo. Is lema masnisin delo kerab Yossi. Now, if you're here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, if you count down from the top of the Amud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the last word in the eighth line, lema masnisin delo kerab Yossi. Dei kerab Yossi ha'amar im kain ma hifsid ramai ela hakol ye munach hachiyov elyo. Rabbi Yossi holds that in the case of Mamana Mutal B'Safek, if there's a Vade Ramai, then we should see to it that everyone gets a loss here so that we guarantee that the Ramai will lose something and will be penalized for his Ramos. And here in our Mishnah, if we assume that there's definitely a Ramai here because each one is contradicting the other one, then Rabbi Yossi would have paskined that Yehimunach, that we take the Talis and we leave it until Elio will come. So the Gemara says, Ela mai rabbonon. What are you telling me? That the case of Mona Shlishi is comparable to our Mishnah of Shnayim Ochsim B'Talis, and our Mishnah does not reflect the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, then by process of elimination, our Mishnah must be squared off with Chachamim. Ela mai rabbonon. Kaman the Ami Rabbonon, Hashar Yehimuna Chachiovo Elio. Even the Rabbonon of Rabbi Yossi agreed that the halach of Yehimuna applies here, not to the first mana and the second mana, because those are definite. We know that Reuven gets one mana and Shimon another, but on the third mana, the Chacham insists that Yehimuna Chachiovo Elio. The Hanami, now let's look at this talus. Is this talus similar to the first mana and the second mana? Or is it similar to the third mana? And for sure, it's similar to the third mana. This fakey, because we don't know who owns this third mana. We don't know who owns this talus. And therefore, the Chachamim would also insist that we apply the principle of Yeh Munach in our case for the Talis. So we don't square our Mishnah off neither with Rav Yossi nor with the Chachamim. And therefore, the Gemara has to find a way now in which we can at least reconcile our Mishnah with the Chachamim, if not Rav Yossi. And that's what the Gemara is going to analyze now. Hi, my. What is your claim? What is your argument? I don't understand your logic. Our Mishnah could certainly work out with the Rabbanon, because Hasam, in the case of Manashlishi, Devarei Haimana Dechad Minayuhu, we have no doubt that that Manashlishi belongs either to Reuven or to Shimon, one of the two litigants. Is Amri Rabbanon Yeh Munach Ad Sheyov Elio. We're not going to grant it to one of the two, since we don't know, because it belongs to one of the two. But Hacha, here the Chacham will say, Achloku, in the case of Talis, the Ikal of Meimad, the Travayu, the possibility exists that this Talis was picked up by both of them simultaneously, and it belongs to both Reuven and Shimon. Is Amri Rabbanon Palgi B'Shvua. We can justify the Halach of Yachloku and reconcile it with the Yeh Munach of Manashlishi, Eli Amrit, but if you're going to insist that our Mishnah squares off with Rabbi Yossi is Hashdu Mahos and Bevadai Ika Mona Lamar, Vika Mona Lamar, Om Rabbi Yossi, Yeh Munach, Hachiyov Elio, Hocha, the Ika Lamema, the Chadminai, Hulo Kolshkein. Certainly, we would assume that Rabbi Yossi would apply the principle of Yeh Munach in our Mishnah. If he applies Yeh Munach in the case of the first one and the second one, which definitely belongs one to Reuven and one to Shimon, and yet Rav Yossi wants to go very far with Yeh Munach and apply it to the entire sum of 300 zuz, then for sure he would apply the principle of Yeh Munach at Sheyov Elio in our case, where it's very possible that the talis belongs to Chad Minayu, to one of them, and the other Tovea has no chelik, has no portion in the talis at all. Certainly we should apply the principle of Yehe Munach. The Gemara answers, Afilu Tema Rabbi Yossi Hasam Vadai Ika Ramai Hachami Yemar Di Ika Ramai Ema Travai Bari Adodi Agbahuha. The Yisod of the principle, the application of the principle of Yeh Munach is for a Vadai Ramai. When there's a Vadai Ramai, we know that one of the two was Mafkid Masayim and the other was Mafkid Mona. One of them therefore is lying through his teeth. Rabbi Yossi looks for a Knas to somehow penalize the Ramai. And that's where Yeh Munach comes into play. And Rabbi Yossi will do everything to guarantee that the Ramai will get nothing, meaning he's going to lose even the mana that he rightfully owns. But in the case of Talis, there's no machayev, there's no motivation to apply the principle of Yeh Munach, because there's no Vadei Ramai. It's possible, as we said many times, that both Reuven and Shimon simultaneously lifted up the Talis, and they were both Zoch and the Talis at the same time. Therefore, it comes out that according to our Gemara at this point, if there's a Vadei Ramai, then we say Yeh Munach Ad Sheyov Elio. Now, our Mishnah says that Shnayim Ochs of Batalis Yachloku B'Shvua. The Mishnah doesn't make any distinction, qualification, whether or not there was a Vadei Ramai. It would seem that our Mishnah would apply even the case of a Vadei Ramai. That would be the simple reading of our Mishnah. For example, if one was Tokev Taliso Shel Chavero, and that's certainly true according to Rabbi Yochanan, the entire Shavua was established here because of this possibility that one was Tokev the Talis of his Chavre. I mean, he's a Vadei Ramai. So the Mishnah certainly applies even in the case of a Vadei Ramai. So the Rashba here of Hidushim writes that Ladas Rabbi Yochanan im Shneim Ochazin afil Yesh Vadei Ramai Achloku B'Shvua HaGemara Kan Omra Sheim Yesh Vadei Ramai Adinu Sheim Munach V'Zui Svaras HaMakshe Sheikshav Mishnah Senu Eina Kirab Yosu. So the Rashba takes this to its logical conclusion. He says that Eina Chinami Rabbi Yochanan would not be able to be reconciled with this approach to the Gemara, that our Mishnah is based on the assumption that maybe they both picked it up simultaneously. There's no Vade Ramai. But in Rabbi Yochanan's favorite reference, where it's a Vade Ramai, we should certainly exclude Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi would not accept Yachloku B'Shvuah, but rather he would insist on Yehi Munach. Let's get back to the Gemara. Inami, the Gemara has another way of distinguishing between our Mishnah and Manashlishi. Hasav over there in the case of Manashlishi, Kanis Le Rabbi Yossi Le Ramai Ki Echi Delodi. In the case of Manashlishi, Rabbi Yossi's motivation in imposing this kind of knas and insisting on Yein Munach is ordered to cough up a confession, a hodah. But Hach, in the case of Talis, what are you going to tell me? Yein Munach. That's not upseda, meaning what you're doing is, in the case of Talis, if you say a munach, is you're preventing a person from making a profit. That's called benias revach, but it's not a hefseid. When does Rabbi Yossi apply a munach as a means of knas to achieve the end of hodah? That's only in a case where you're taking someone out of someone's pocket. He's actually suffering a loss through that knas, through that penalty. That will motivate him, hopefully, to be modeh and tell the truth. But here, my pseida ikolev delode, in this case of Vitalis, which was a mitzia, nobody owned it, then if you exclude Ruvain or Shimon from the Talis, or both of them for that matter, you're not being mafsid a Ramai. There's no actual hefseid here, because the Talis was never his to begin with. So this kind of yemunach, in the case of Talis, would not motivate, would not achieve this goal of a knas, namely to get the baldin to be modeh. In other words, if through this hodah, at least the modeh will gain back or receive back in half, or shall we say the amount of money that's his, at least that money that's his, that would motivate him to be modeh. But here, what are you telling me? To motivate him to be modeh, we're going to say yeimunach ad shiyavelo. He's willing to accept that situation of yeimunach. Now Tosfos at the beginning of Masecht Bava Metzia, and this you'll see on Daf Beis Amid Beis, Dibur HaMaschil E, that's the top Tosfos on Amid Beis, is of the opinion that if the Bali Dinim are Ochzin Shneim B'Chefetz HaNidon, if both of them are holding on to something, then we apply the principle of Yachloku even if we know that one of them is a Vade Ramai. For example, in the case of Ani Aragtiyo, Rashi at the very beginning of Masechta Bava Metzia speaks about Ani Aragtiyo, that's the last Rashi on the page. Zomer Ani Aragtiyo, Zomer Ani Aragtiyo, Lo Yachloku, the Vade Chad Binai Ramai, V'teim Unachas, Ad Shiyov Eliyo. Rashi is committed to the position that if each one says he wove the garment, so we know there's a Vade Ramai here, it's not shaykh that they both wove the garment, we would apply the principle not of Yachloku, but rather of Yemunach. Tosus, however, disagrees, and Tosus on the opinion that even if there's a Vade Ramai, nevertheless we apply the principle of Yachloku, and that's the case of Ani Aragtiyo. Now, in the second answer of the Gemara that we just learned now, that Rabbi Yossi is modeh, that the principle of Yachloku should apply if Ramai doesn't lose anything. In other words, that the only time Rabbi Yossi insists on the knas of Yemunach is when the Ramai is going to take a loss, that's going to motivate him to be modeh, then that's true even in a case where one of them is Vade Ramai. For example, let's say one says Ani Mitzasiyah Hayom, and the other one says Ani Mitzasiyah Esmol, I found it the day before. In this case, there's definitely a Vade Ramai. But nevertheless, if we were to say Yei Munach, there's no Hefse to the Ramai, and therefore we'd apply the principle of Yachloku. So according to Rashi, who says that in the case of Ani Aragtiyo, we apply the principle of Yei Munach, L'chore, you could ask the Kasha, how do we square with this Gemara's principle here, my Hefsid Ramai? It would seem, Lefiani is Daiti, that Rashi of Anir Aktiya Yeimunach could not accept the second teretz of the Gemara. Rashi, for some reason, accepted the first teretz of the Gemara. Now the Gemara says the following. Tenach, Mitzia, everything that you said about our Mishnah, that there's no Yeimunach in our Mishnah because there's no Hefzed to the Ramai, if we apply Yeimunach, that applies well to the case of Mitzia. But what about the cases of Mekach u'Memkar, which is also in our Mishnah, Michael and Meimar? There is a real Hefzed, because both Reuben and Shimon gave payment to the Mocher, and now if you're going to say that Yeimunach for the whole thing, then the monies that were paid to the Mocher are lost. So the Vade Rama is going to take a Hefzed. And therefore, according to your logic, we should definitely apply the principle of Yeimunach. Ela machvarta kiddushanina meikara. Therefore, we're forced to go back to the previous answer, the first answer of the two, that in Manish Shlishi there's a Vare Ramai, and that's why I apply Yeimunach. In Talos there's no Vare Ramai, and therefore you say Yachloku. And just to review why the Gemara objects and therefore rejects the second approach of Vadei Ramai, since that Mishnah is talking about a case of Mekach u'Memkar, and there's a Vadei Ramai, and not only that, Yeimunach would force as a knas the liar, the Ramai, to come forward and be Moda, so Chach at least gets his money back instead of experiencing suffering a Hefzed. Why doesn't the Mishnah apply Yeimunach in the case of Mekach u'Memkar, and therefore we have to go back to the first Teretz? And we have to assume that in the case of Manashlishi, there's a Vare Ramai, and therefore we apply the principle of Yeheimunach. But in Talis, there's no Vare Ramai, and therefore we say Yachloku. And in the case of Mekach u'Memkar, each one fools himself into thinking that he actually was the one who purchased the Talis. And if you take a look at the third line in Tosfos here on Daf Beis Amud Beis, third line from the top, he says, "V'mekach u'memkar im yodeh shechaver kana lo havi tofes, would be the tofes bas sover shalohu v'nisratz ha'mocher. Kidemasik lekamon denokit zuzi mitravai." That in the case of Mekach u'memkar, that he took the money, the mocher took the payment from both of them. Each one fools himself to thinking that the Das HaMakne, the Das HaMeschaiv, the Rotzon of Hakna, of the Mocher, was for him. Now, Hechad Avadai Tos says, Eino Sovralomer Emes Kagon, Anir Aktia, Anir Aktia, Shechem Mehem Toin Sheker B'mezid, is then Pshitish Achloku B'shvur, that they shvur Avadai, Yifrosh, Techoshel HaMamon, Lochoshel HaShvuasa. And that's what we saw, that Tosfos takes the position against Rashi, that in a near idea, despite the fact that one of them is saying Sheker, nevertheless we impose a Yachlok B'Shvua on both of them, and we don't say Yeheimunach, even though the Gemara had postulated that in a Vade Rami situation we should say Yeheimunach. But the answer is that according to Tosfos, since Shnayim Ochsin, they're both holding on to the Talis, we're not going to say Yeimunach. Yeimunach is going to be in the case of Manashlishi, where they were mafkid the mana, each one, and one Masayim, in the hands of a Shomer. And there we're going to say Yeheimunach. But to take it out of the hands of the Machzik, that we don't say Yeheimunach, even in the case of a Vade Ramai. Now the Gemara deals with the following question. Bein l'Rabbanan, u'bein l'Rab Yossi, hasam, Gabi chenvoni al pinkoso, de katoni shezenish pavanotel, vezenish pavanotel, maishna delo amrinon, nafke lumamonomi balabais via heimunach, achiovo, bia achiovo liohu, tobavade iko ramai. The Gemara sort of now deflects us onto a different area, not so much Shnaimoks and Vitalis, but rather the case of chenvoni al pinkoso. And in the case of Chenvoni al Pinkaso, where the Chenvoni claims he paid the Poalim, and the Poalim said, they claim we never got paid, and we discussed this case the other day, there, each one takes a shvuas nishba venota, the Baal Bais will have to pay both. They'll have to pay the chenvani, because the chenvani took a shvuah to the fact that he shelled out money on behalf of the Baal Bais. They'll have to pay the polim who take a shvuah that they never got paid, and each one takes a shvuas nishba venota. In that case, why not apply the principle of yeimurach? And this has nothing to do with Rabbi Yossi and Chacham. Both Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim agree that in Avadei Ramai we apply the principle of Yeimunach. Then clearly in Chenvani Al Pinkaso, why do we allow each one, the Chenvani and the Poel, to take a Shvua? They should both suffer a Knas of Yeimunach at Shiovelio in order to get them to come forward and make a Hodah, because it's a Vade Ramai situation. So the Gemara answers, Amri Hasam, in the case of Chenvani Al Pinkaso Ani Taima. Why do we say each one collects from the Baal HaBayis with a Shvua? The Amrle Chenvani Le Baal HaBayis Anoshli Chusa Didachka Avdinan My Isli Gabi Sochir. I fulfilled my agency. I was your agent to pay the Poel, and you have to pay me for that. That's the nature of the agreement that we have. What relationship do I have with the fact that the Poel claims that he wants to sue you for wages? That's not something that I have to accept. The Afal Gavdiko Mishtabali, and even if the Socher, the Poel, goes ahead and takes a Shvua that he didn't receive payment, Lohem Nelibe Shvua, I never had a dealings with the Poel. I had dealings just with you, the Baal HaBayis. And I don't believe the Shvua of the Poel. I think he's a Rasha. I don't think we should give him any credibility. Ad Hamante, you on the other hand, gave reliability to the Poel. In other words, you entered into a contractual agreement committing yourself to pay wages. Delo Amrit Li Besadi Havli. And you believe the wage earners, the Poelim, to claim that they didn't get paid. And therefore you have to believe the Paul and Bishvua. But I, for one, says the Chenvani, I never got any sort of mandate for you that, you know what, please take Adim before you pay the wages of the Paul. Make sure that there are two witnesses. Now, you, the Baal HaBayis, want to wiggle your way out of this claim, and you want to pay the Paulim and not pay me. No, you can't do such a thing. You have to pay both of us. You'll have to pay twice, because you told me to pay and I fulfilled my agency, my mandate. Why should there be a halacha of Yeimunach at Shiovelio? And again, the same argument the Gemara says we could put into the mouth of the Sochir. Nami, the Poel also has this similar taina. He could say, Omalei Baal HaBayis, Ano Ovid, Avidit HaGabach. We have an agreement between you and I that I should work for you and you will pay me my wages. My Isli Gabi Chenvani. I have nothing to do with the Chenvani. You have to pay me, Baal HaBayis, and you didn't pay me. And even if the Chenvani says I was paid, what? I don't give any trust, I don't have any reliance, or I haven't given any credibility to the Chenvani. The Afagav Mishtabel, even if he takes a Shvuah that he paid me, lo eminently, I don't trust this Shvuah. You're the one who trusts this Shvuah because you have a relationship with the Chenvani. Hilchak Shavayu Mishtabi Vishakli, each one, the Chenvani and the Baal HaBayis, have a right to take a Shvuah. Vishakli, and they collect their money, from the Baal HaBayis. So this is clear that in the case of Chenvani Al Pinkaso, both the Chenvani and the Poel have rights to take a Shvua and collect from the Baal HaBayis. Now, again, the Poelim, we understand very well, they did the Avoda. They have to be paid for their work, for their labor. And the Baal HaBayis himself doesn't know whether they were paid or not. And that's similar to the case of someone who was tovea mana, and the other person says, "Eini yodea, I don't know if I paid you up." Eini yodea praticha. In such a case, everybody agrees that bari v'shem or bari odav, he has to pay him. In the case of the chenvani, on the other hand, that's a suffix of eini yodea nischayavti. I don't know if I borrowed money from you. And there we pass in that Bari Vishem a lot Bari Yodin is Potter. So we're not clear why the Baal Bais has to pay the Chenvani. We understand very well that he has to pay the Poel because it's any Yodem Praticha. But vis-a-vis the Chenvani, it's any Yodem is Chayavti. I don't know if you paid for it. And the Ramban is so bothered by this question that he insists that this case of Chenvani and the rights of the Chenvani to claim and collect from the Baal Bais with the Shvua is a separate Takonis Chachomim and it's not the Ikra Din. Whereas the Baal Amar disagrees, and also the Ritva, claiming that Chenvani has a right to collect Mikra Adin. Why? Because the Baal Bais entered into this commitment that he would pay. He would pay the Chenvani and the Pole, and the Chenvani to reimburse him for the money he shells out. And when the Chenvani comes forward with a Tainus Bari and he says that he paid the Polim, the Baal Bais counters with the Tainus Shema, then it's the Baal Bais' fault because he believed the Chenvani. That was the nature of the contract and the agreement in hiring the Chenvani as his agent. And therefore becomes a case of Eini Yodea Im Praticha. That's the Shita of the Baal Amar in contrast to the Shita of the Ramban. The Gemara now says, Tani, we learnt a Vraisa Rav Chiya, and this is the case of Shvuas Modim and Miktsas, which means that if the Nitba, that's the defendant, when he's sued by the plaintiff, he agrees, he admits on half of the claim, he has to take a Shvua on the other half. And Rav Chiya applies this principle in the case where someone says to his friend, Manali biyadcha, you owe me a mana. Hala omer ein lecha biyadi klum. I don't pay you, I don't owe you anything. So far it's kofar kol, but ha'edim eidin oso sheyesh lo chamishim zuz. The eidim chach can testify on 50 zuz. Is at this point, the proof and the evidence on behalf of the Tovea, on behalf of the Malve, at least on half his claim, is absolutely reliable. It's airtight. So that we know that at least half of his claim, as the plaintiff, as the Tovea, is true. Therefore, says Rav Chiya, in this case we paskin that the Nitba, based on the Eidus, has to pay Nosin Lo Chamishim Zuz. That's clear. But not only that, Yishav Al Hashar, on the other 50, he has the Halach of Modu Miksataina. And why is that so, says Rav Chiya? He derives from a Kavachoma, Lo Tehei Hodas Piv Gdola Me'odas Eidim. If Hodas Baldin, when the defendant admitted on 50, is enough to generate a Chiv Shvua, how much more so in the case of Eidim, which is the total objective reliability, that's the paramount reliability, the Torah relies on two Eidim, even more than Hodas Baldin, certainly, Mikal v'chomer, that Hodas Eidim, the testimony of the Eidim on 50, should be strong enough to engender a Chiyuv Shvuas Modim v'miktsas. V'tana tuna, and Rav Chiya continues, and he says, I have a raya from our mission of Shnayim Ochsin Betalis, Zeo Me'anim Etzasiyav, etc. v'chule, Hacha, Keva de Tofis, Anan Sadi de Mind de Tofis, Hai de Dehu, Umay de Tofis, Hai de Dehu, Uketani Yishava. So at this point, the Gemara goes back to our mission, Rav Chiya goes back to our mission, he doesn't have the Takonis Chachamim of Rabbi Yochanan, he's analyzing the Mishnah from the perspective of Shvua Doraisa. And which of the Shvuah, we know that there's a Shvuah Eid Echa, we know there's a Shvuah Hashomrim, and now there's a Shvuah Modem Mixas Hataina. And here, since the Tovea, whichever one you want to call him Ruvain or call him Shimon, let's call him Ruvain right now, it doesn't matter. Ruvain is Tovea the entire Talis, and his Ochazin, his Tfisa on half the Talis, is like Eidim that testified that he owns half the Talis. And if that be the case, that Eidus, in quotation marks, is enough to generate a Chiyuv Shvua, that Shimon should have to take a Shvua on the other 50. And that becomes a Shvuas Modum Miktsas. So you see, says Rav Chiya, that you don't need a Hodas Baldin in order to establish a Shvuas Modum Miktsas. In our Mishnah, there is no Adas Bal Din, Zelmer Kula Shali, etc. But nevertheless, if there's Edom on half the claim, that substantiates the claim on half and strengthens and upgrades that claim to the level that it can generate a Chiyuv of Modem and Mikzas. And therefore, the Nitba has to take a Shvur. Now, where are the Edom in our Mishnah? The answer is that the Chazok itself is a substitute as the power of Edom, because Kol Mash Tachas Yod Adam Shalohu, whatever a person is holding on to, is his. And this would establish the principle of Rabbi Chiya. Now let's just think about the Chiddush here of Rabbi Chiya. Normally we would say that the Nitba, through his Hodah, generates a Chiyuv Shvuah. Rabbi Chiya, on the other hand, is being mechadish that let's forget about the Hodas HaNitba, let's look about the Chashivus of the Taina of the Tovea. What makes it into a Taina Chashuva? The fact that the Nitba was Moda on half. Well, there are other ways of establishing the Chashivus and the power of the Tviyas HaTovea, and that is through Edim, or in our Mishnah, says Rabbi Chiya, through Tfisa. Now this analogy, this extension of Modem and Mikzas on the part of Rabbi Chiya and Mishnah is a little bit tricky and somewhat difficult, elusive to grasp, because in the case of Shnayim Osim Talis, each one has half the Talis and he's Muchzak in that half. He's being Tovea the other half of Talis. That, you know, Shimon is saying, you know, Reuven, you grabbed that other half from me. And with regard to that other half that he's claiming, there's no modem and mikzas. There's no edus on the second half of the talis. If Shimon wants to quote evoke some sort of edus, quasi edus, as chazok as tfisa here, that's very difficult because his tfia is on the other half. He has no edus or any raya or any tfisa on the other half. So as far as the other half that he's being tovea without any raya whatsoever, it's a kofra kol situation. It's not a modem and mikzas. And that's very difficult. In fact, if you take a look at the Shita Megubetzes, he writes, HaGemara Sofer Shekol Echad Nechshav Muchsa B'chol Atalis, that the Chiddush of Rabbi Chiya and the underlying premise is that not that Reuven is holding on to half and he's Muchsak on half, Shimon is holding on to half, he's Muchsak on that half, but rather each one is considered Muchsak on the entire Talis. And therefore he can support his claim with the tfisa that he has, Chazaka Kol Mashi Tachas Yad Adam Shalom. So that's like an Anan Sadi, it's almost like an Edus on half the Talis, but the claim is on the entire full Talis. Rabbi Kiveger here has a whole Shtikl Torah. The Gemara now thinks that the Shvur and Mishnah is the Shvur as Modem and Mikzas. Then in the Sefer of the Mishnah, Zelmer Kula Shali, Zelmer Chetzi Shali, there, the Toein Chetzi Shali has to take a Shvur on one quarter of the Talis, and that becomes the Shvur as Modem and Mikzas. On the other hand, the Toein, the one who says Kula Shali, he's demanding the entire Talis. The one who says Chetzi Shali is Moda, that half the Talis is not his. So since he has to take a Shvuas Modem and Mikzas, why does the one who says Kula Shali have to take a Shvuas Modem and Mikzas? From the perspective of Shvuas Modem and Mikzas, it's the one who says Chetzi Shali is the Modem and Mikzas, not the one who says Kula Shali. And yet the Mishnah insists that they both have to take a Shvua. That's the Kasha Rav Kivega Ayin Sham Dira Masel Vitana. The Gemara now clarifies Rabbi Chiya, the statement of Rabbi Chiya. What does Rabbi Chiya mean when he says, quote, Shalo tehe odas piv gdola ha'odas edim ikal v'chomer? What does that mean over here? The Gemara wants to understand, what's the hava meaning here to say that odas piv is greater than ha'odas edim? And Rabbi Chiya needs a kal v'chomer to disprove that thesis. Shalom tomar odas piv hu derachmana derami rachmana shvuale kidderabba. So the Gemara now quotes a statement of Rabba to justify the hava mina that odas piv, odas baldin, in a case of mikzas hatviya, That's the case where the Torah imposed a Shavuah. Based on the logic of Rabbi, the Yom Rabbi Neima Omer Torah Modu Miksa Taino Yishova, meaning that Lechora, in the case of Kofra Kol, he doesn't have to take a Shavuah. Why does he have to take a Shavuah in the case of Modu Miksas? Why shouldn't we believe the Modu Miksas with a migu that he could have denied the entire Taina? And the answer is Chazaka Eino Nemeiz Panov Mipnei Balchovo. That every time there's a tviya, we have to assume that tviya, if it's a true tviya, puts the nitba into a very embarrassing situation. Meaning, if he's really there, the nitba, to lie and to deny the claim of the tovea, he's going to be mazed upon him b'fnei balchova. The tovea actually extended him a loan, and now he's denying it. Oh, so in that case, we really should believe the nitba if he denies the loan, because ain't on the mayor's part of Nebal Chova. Vahai b'kudi boy de nichpere. In truth, he, the nitba, we really want to be kofra kol, but hai de lo kafre mishum di ain't on the mayor's part of. And here on Gimel Amid Beis, V'hai b'kuli boy deludi le, v'hai delo odi le, ishtamuti kom ishtamit le, v'savar adavi, li zuzi parana le, v'yam rachman rami shvua le, kechid lo di le b'kuli. The Gemara has a whole psychological explanation as to why the nitba here has to take a shvua. Really, the nitba wanted to go as far as lying and denying the whole loan. But Einon HaMeiz Panim Fei Chovah, so to sort of calm down the Einon HaMeiz, what he does is, he gives him half of the tviya. And maybe the situation is such that he's not such a bad liar. I mean, it's not such a rotten guy. Maybe he just doesn't have the money to pay. So what he does is, he admits to half, because that much money he could cough up. And Ishtamutikam ishtamit mine means, in the meantime, he'll save himself from the malva, he'll distance himself from the malva. He thinks in his mind, Adiyavli, Susie, when I get the money, I'll pay it back. Of course, the Torah is not going to rely on that whole psychological justification. Who knows if he'll ever pay him back? And not only that, at this point, he's lying through his teeth. So therefore, the Rachmana, the Torah says, let's impose a shvua on the nitva, and hopefully, rather than take a shvua sheker, he'll admit that he owes the money. Now, again, if he doesn't have the money, we'll see what the halacha is, whether we give him an extension of time to pay the money, or whether we collect from mishubadim. But that's not the point. We want to establish the truth of the, in this case, the tviya, the claim of the malve. And that's going to be achieved, hopefully, through the Shavuah. But here's the Svara that would lead to the opposite conclusion of Rebchia without the Kal Vachomer, and that is that in the case where Eidim testified, but the Nitva denied the entire claim, Lekel Emeimer Hachi, the whole Svara of Ishtamuti Kom Ishtamit falls apart, is Eimel Lo. Maybe the Torah would say in such a case, we cannot be mechayev shvuas modu mikzas based on the edim, because chashed amamona chashed ashvuasa. Again, in the case of ishtamuti kom ishtamed, we're not going to apply the principle of chashed amamona chashed ashvuasa. Why? Because he's matzdik himself with this svara of, you know what, ishtamuti kom ishtamed, I'll wait for the other half until the money comes into my possession, to my bank account. But he's not a real outright ganav. He's not a chashed amamona. And therefore, we don't have to assume that he'll take a shvuah sheker. But in the case of Edim, there's a very strong svara to say that the shvuah is pointless. The shvuah is only meaningful in the case of ishtamuti kom ishtamit, that's in modu mimiktsas. But in the case of kofra kol with Edim, there's no svara of ishtamuti kom ishtamit. He's an outright ganav. And on the tzad that he's a chashad amamona, he's also chashash shvuah, so the shvuah itself is meaningless. So Reb Chiya has to introduce a Kal V'chomer, and we'll see exactly what that Kal V'chomer is, in order to justify the conclusion that just like a Hodah could generate a Chiyuv of Vodum Mikzas Shvua, so too Ha'adus Edom could generate a Chiyuv Shvua. Now Tosfos here and elsewhere assume that if the Ptur of Kofra Kol, who is based on the Svar of Eino Nemeiz Bifnei Bal Chovo, then if a person was Toveya someone, and the Nitba went ahead and he was Meiz Pon of Kenegdo, for example, let's say someone was Toveya the Chov of his father from his friend, and he says, you know what, your father took 1,000 from me, and the Nitba is Kofra Kol. In such a case, there's no Eino Nemeiz Pon of. So why wouldn't we say here in this case that the Ben, the Yoresh, has to take a Shvua? And the Gemara says explicitly in Gittin on Daf Nun Aleph Amid Beis that if the Toveya was Toveya the son of the Malva, the son of the Malva, if he's Kofra Kol, doesn't have to take a Shvua. He's absolutely Potter. So Tosfos here and in Gittin insist that the reason why Kofra Kol is Potter B'Shvua is not because Eino Demei is Potter B'Nei B'Chovo, but because of the Gzeres HaKosov of Ki Hu Zeh, from which we learn that Modu Mixus is Chayav Shvua, but not Kofra Kol. Now Rashi, on the other hand, interprets that the reason why and Rashi is more clear actually in Bava Kamma than he is here, the reason why a Kofra Kol is Potter from Shvua is because of the support that he has from Eino Demei is Potter from Nechval Chova. What are we going to do now with the Sugin Gittin about the Malva who was Tovea the Ben? So what the Achronim want to say over here, and just in a gist, I'm just going to, you know, sort of summarize it in a bare summary, is that in the case of Kofra Kol, the logic to say that he should be Chayav Shvua is because Einam Tovea Elin Kein Yeshlo. Because the Tvi itself has a certain chashivas in and of itself without any evidence, without any support, without any mode of Iviktas. However, against this chazaka, we have the chazaka of Ein Adam Toveya, Ein Adam Meis Ponef Nei Bal Chovo. So you have the chazaka that supports the Toveya, and this chazaka Kenegdo that supports the Nitba. And in such a case, what we do is we sort of reconcile these two chazakas, and based on the power of the chazaka that supports the claim of the Nitba of Ein Adam Meis, we're going to drop the Shvua. However, again, the whole Havamina that there would be a Shvua for which we need Kenegdo, the Einon Nemeiz, is the Chazok of the Toveya that supports the Toveya, Einon, Toveya, and Ken Yeshua. That Chazok, the Achronim say, does not apply in the case of Avicha Chayav Lonomos. Because since he's not saying to the Ben that you borrowed money from me, then it's very easy for him to put forth this tvir. So once we drop the chazok of Eidon Toveim Ken Yeshlo, then there certainly is no reason to impose the Shvua on the Nitva. And the entire reason we need Einodom Meis Ponov to support the Nitva against the Toveh is because of the strength of the Toveh's chazokah. But in the case of Bimcha, there's no strength and there's no support or chazokah on behalf of the Toveya. And therefore, for sure, there's no Shvuas Nishpa V'Niftar. Now, Rab over here, if we go back, really is asking two questions. First of all, why is Kofra Kol not Chayav Shvuah like Modu V'Miktas? And secondly, why shouldn't Modu V'Miktas be Potter from a Shvuah? Because he's like a Migu, he's like a Meshav Aveda. And if you take a look in the Gemara uses a sort of double language here. It says Chazaka, Rabbi says Chazaka Einon Demeiz Ponef Nei Bal Chovo, and then it says V'hai Bekulei Boy Delifkere V'lhod Lo Kafre Mishum De Einon Demeiz Ponov. There are two parts to the statement of Rabbi. We can say the following: that the first part of Rabbi's statement is an answer to the first question, and the second part of Rabbi's statement is an answer to the second question. So in answering the first question, as to why is the Kofar HaKol not Chayav Shvua, the Gemara answers that Hay Bekulei Boy DeLichpere. And in answer to the question why the mode of a mikzas shouldn't be a meshav aveda, is we have the answer of the Eino Deveis Ponav Bifnei Balchova, with a whole Ishtamuti Kom Ishtamit Svara, the complex Svara that we presented. In any event, now we get to the punchline. Okay, Rabbi Chia logically could have accepted the distinction between modem and mikzas, chayev shvua, as a case of Ha'adus Eidim, because only in modem and mikzas do we have this svara of ishtamuti kom ishtamit, in which the nitba, the lov, is playing games over and he's going to admit 50, but he really doesn't have the other 50 to pay, but he knows that he's hoping to get the 50 to pay, and that's where the shvua comes in. But in the case of that was Zitamar Zolberg from Sderot. I mean, I haven't spoken to him in years. He called me to wish me a Shana Tova. We were together in Toronto at the Kollel of Zichron Dov, the Yeshiva University Kollel, which is also part of a very big movement that actually I was representing in Toronto, called Torah Mitzion. And there Itamar came also to represent Torah Mitzion. And Baruch Hashem, he's doing great stuff in Sderot, so I apologize for that interference. But again, getting back to the Kal V'Chomer, now we see, of course, clearly that Rav Chia needs a Kal V'Chomer to justify his conclusion that Ha'odas Eidim generates a Chiyuv Shvuas Modum Mikzas. My Kal V'Chomer. What is the Kal V'Chomer? Ma Piv She'ein Mechayvo Mamon. Is mechayvo shvua edim shemechayven also mamon eino din shemechayven also shvua. Now this, the Gemara is going to pounce on this. The words of the Gemara make no sense if you read them literally. Piv means that he can't be mechayv himself mamon. We know that that's not true. Whereas edim certainly is mechayv mamon. But if piv, which is not mechayv mamon, is mechayv shvua, how much more so than edim that is mechayv mamon is mechayv shvua? The Gemara says, so what did Rav Chia have in mind here? What's the yisod of this Kal V'Chomer? What does he mean when he says that piv is ein mechayv in mamon? My mamon knas. He uses the word mamon loosely here, but what he really specifically refers to is knas. For example, we spoke about Kefel and Dalet Vehei in the case of Aganav. We spoke about Onus and Mefata. We spoke about the case of Shartam, according to one Mandi Omar, that Chatzi Nezik of Shartam is a Knas. In all these cases, if a person comes forward with Oda, he's not Mechayev himself. Only if Edim come and testify that he owes this Knas, then he pays the Knas. So Ma Piv Shein Mechayevo Knas, Mechayevo Shvua, Edim Shemechayevin Oso Knas, Eino Din Shemechayevin Oso Shvua. Edim are more powerful than Piv insofar as Knas is concerned. Edim are Mechayev Knas. The Gemara asks the question, but Ma'ale Piv, I have a certain superior status or halachic power to Piv vis-a-vis Edim, Shekei Mechayvo Karban. If a person comes forward and he admits to an Avera, let's say he did a Chiv Kares Bishogeg, and he says, you know, I want to bring a Karban, then he is Mechayv himself a Karban, even if Edim would testify that he never violated the Savera, if they were, you know, able to say Lo Zaza Vitachas Yodenu. And this is all based on a parsha at the beginning of Vayikra Vesvada Asher Chata Oleha Vehevius Hashama. Now, it's very strange that Rashi needs that pasuk here, Vehevius Hashama. You know, Lechori could have brought the pasuk. It says, Oh Hoda Elov Chatasa, which explicitly means that if he admits that he violated the Savera that generates a Chiv Karban, he's Chayv the Karban Veloshi Diyu Achirim. So it's a little bit odd here that Rashi quotes the Visvada Veheshiv Es Hashem, because that doesn't tell me that he brings a Karban even if the Edim contradict him, which is the real point here to show that Piv is greater than Edim. And the Ritva says that Rashi is of the opinion that only after we have the Pasuk of Karban Asham, namely that Hodas Piv is Machayev a Karban, because it says Visvado Vehevius Hashomo, then the Chachamim introduced the drasha that Oh Hoda Elov is even if the Edim testify against him and they contradict him. But Tomar be Edim, in the case of Edim that testified that a person violated an Avera and that would generate a Chiyuv Karban. For example, if they testify that he was Machal Shabbos, he ate Chelev, Beshogeg, and he denies it. He says, I didn't eat Chelev, I didn't violate the Shabbos. Yisha'en Mechayim and also Karban. The Edim cannot force a Karban down his throat. So you see here that in a comparison, weighing the respective powers of Edim and Piv, Hodas Piv is superior. The Gemara says, you know what? You want to tell me that Hodas Piv is greater than Edim, and if you want to slug up and undermine the Kal V'chomer Lo Kasha, that's not a question. Why? Reb Chiya K'reb Meir Svir Lei D'Omer Edim Mechayven Oso Karbon Mi Kal V'chomer. And we're going to have a Mishnah in Krisus that records a machlokas about this very issue. What happens if two Edim testify against the person he's chayav a karbon, and he, the person, the so-called accused, is makfish, he denies that he did it. And it's Rav Meir's Shita that says that he has to bring the karbon based on the Edim. And that is a principle that's derived by Rabbi Meir from a Kal V'chomer, and Rabbi Chiya here in his presentation of the Kal V'chomer happens to adopt and embrace the position of Rabbi Meir. This now we learned in the Mishnah increases. Amru lo, two Edim testify Shnayim. Achalta chelev, it means you ate chelev b'shogeg, you have to bring a karma chatzas. Who Amru lo achalta, he denies it. Is Rabbi Meir Mechayev? In other words, the objective truth, which is established by the ultimate supreme evidence of two Edim, itself generates the Chiyuv Karman. The Avera of eating Chelev B'Shogeg, or whatever Chiyuv Karis Dam, whatever it might be, that itself generates the Chiyuv Karman. And that the truth of that reality is established by Edim. That's Rabbi Meir. Chachamim Pochim, they say, no. There's another condition. Not just the Maisa Avera, that alone is not enough, is not sufficient to generate a Chiyuv Karban. You also need the Idiyas HaBailin. You know, the person has to be on board here to bring his Karban. He says, you know, yeah, I did this Avera. So the Edim might be the backdrop, but ultimately, say the Chachamim, the real Machayev is inherent in the Hodah. And if he denies it, this so-called accused, then there's no Chiyuv Karban. Omar Rabbi Meir says you should derive... He turns to the Chachom and says he should derive the opposite conclusion, meaning my conclusion, from a Kal V'chomer. If two Edim testify against the person that he was Machal Shabbos, etc., etc., and he's therefore his Chayav Misas Bezdin, is we believe the Edim, and that's Misa Chamura, is Lo Yevi'u Lidei Karban Hakal. Certainly, how much more so, the Edim should have the power to generate a Chiyuv Karman, which is relatively lightweight compared to Misa. But again, you know, if you look at Rabbi Meir's Kal V'chomer in a very meticulous way, you look at it very closely, he's assuming that a Karban operates within the same framework as a Chiyuv Misa. It's a kind of an onesh that the Torah is punishing you for the Avera. And in that case, if the essence is an onesh, it's an onesh Kal vis-a-vis the onesh Chomer of Misa. And if Edom are believed and relied upon to generate an onesh chomer, certainly an onesh kal, Amru lo, the Chacham say that karban is a little different. Why? My yirtza lomar mezid hayisi yipater. Ultimately, the Chacham argue, there's no way that you can establish and impose a chiyuv karban on a person. He can always wiggle his way out. He could always say that I was amazed. The Edom can't be machish that. They don't know whether he's amazed or shog. If he admits and claims he was amazed, and again, even if it's a false claim, we have no way of disproving it, he would be parted from the karban, because if he's amazed doesn't bring a karban. There's no way, no how, that amazed would bring a karban. So therefore, when he says that I didn't eat at all, Okay, that's a head-on collision against the Edim. We're going to have to believe him because he could have just easily have said, "Achalti chelev b'mezit." Now, the Mefarshim here go to town. I mean, how could it be that he could machish the Edim and say, "I didn't eat at all"? And what they apply here is a kind of, in a sense, a reinterpretation of the Gemara. The Gemara is not just giving him their manis with a migu. That's not what's going on here. But this is called Mataritz Diburo. He's reinterpreting his statement. When he was Machish the Edim, and he said Lo Achalti, what he really meant was Lo Achalti B'Shogeg Ela B'Mezit. And that the Edim can't be Machish, and therefore he's believed. So at this point, if Rabbi Meir is standing on the shoulder, if Rabbi Chiya, excuse me, is standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Meir, we can justify his Kal V'Chomer, because we see that Piv, in the case of Karban, is not as powerful as Edim. So that our Adas Edim vis-a-vis Piv reigns supreme, and that's the basis for the Kal V'Chomer, that our Adas Edim should certainly generate a Shvu if Piv generates a Shvu. But the Gemara now is going to offer another way, another approach of rejecting the Kal V'Chomer of Rabbi Chiya. Elamal Piv Shekein Mechaivo Osham. But what about the fact that if a person is modeh, that he violated an avera that generates a chiyuv karban asham, he has a chiyuv to bring the karban asham. So we see that hodas piv has a power of a koach to be mechayev a karban, and therefore to be mechayev a shvur. In the case of odeh b'miktzas, edim on the other hand did not have the power to be mechayev a person a karban asham. And this is an explicit Mishnah in Masechet Shavuos. So the Gemara answers, no, Oshnam Hainu Karma. We've already established before that Rabbi Chiya accepts Rabbi Meir, and that Edim can be Mechayev a Karban, and therefore there's no difference between a Karban Chattas and a Karban Osham in the framework of Rabbi Meir. And therefore Rabbi Chiya's Kal V'Chomer is well-founded, because Edim are certainly more powerful and more reliable than Piv. Ella, but we can reject the Kal V'Chomer with a different pircha. Mal the Piv. Why is Piv superior to Edim? She came a Chai V'Chomesh. That it means that if somebody claims against Shimon, Reuven claims against Shimon that Shimon owes him money, and Shimon denies the claim, and he takes a Shavua, and then he admits that he took a Shavua Sheker, he has to bring a Karban Asham, and he has to pay in addition a Chomesh, meaning you have to add a 20% fee on top of the money that he admits that he owes. So the Hodas Baldin has the power of generating a Chiyuv Chomesh, and therefore it has the power of generating a Chiyuv Shvua. But Edim that cannot be Mechayiv the Chotei Tashlum Chomesh, in the case where he's Makish them, they cannot be Mechayiv Meshvuas Modu B'Miktzas. And Holokasha, once again, the Gemara links up Rav Chiya ki Rabbi Meir Svirle. Ki hechi mechayv li karban, mikal v'chom mechayv li chomesh, mikal v'chom. The same Kal V'Chomer and the logic of Rabbi Meir to generate a chiyuv karban in the case where Edim testified that he's chayv a karban, despite the hakrosh of the so-called accused, so too the Edim could be mechayv him a chomesh. So don't tell me that Piv is greater than Edim because Piv is Machayev Chomesh, whereas Edim is not Machayev Chomesh. That's simply not true, according to Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir has a fundamental principle, as we saw before, that Edim is more powerful than Piv, Gandik, period. That's the end of the story. I mean, Edim and Machayev Misa. Ella, the Gemara says, I have a different Pirch on the Kal V'Chomer. Mala Piv, Shekein Eno, Bakhosha Uba Zoma. If a person admits that he's chayiv mamon to his friend, for example, let's say he admits that he borrowed money from his friend on a certain day, and the Edim contradict him, we don't take the Edus into consideration. The weight is not with the Edim, but in favor of the Hodas Piv. Hodas Piv has a greater power than Edim. And in that sense, we understand why Odas Piv has the power to mechayev a shvua in the case of Odom Mitzvah, whereas Edim does not. Tomar b'Edim sheyeshna v'akhosha v'azoma. If Edim testify on a certain loan that took place on a certain day, and then two Edom later on will be machish them, or will be mazin them, and the difference between achash is to say that you weren't there on that, that there was no alva on that day. In the case of azoma, you weren't there to see the alva on that day. Then in that case, we render the Haggadah's Edus of the Edom, the first pair of Edom, as meaningless. Whereas in the case of Piv, despite the contradiction of his Hodah on the part of the Edom, nevertheless he's Chayav. And therefore the Gemara says that this is a final, reliable Pircha, and we really cannot assume that Edom are greater than Piv, because in fact Piv is greater than Edom in the case of Akhasha. And now the Gemara is going to embark upon a brand new approach to justify the Kal v'Chomer of Rabbi Chiya. Ela Asya Meid Echad, Uma Eid Echad, She'ein Mechaivo Mamon. Is mechayv o shvua edim shemechayv en oso mamon en odin shemechayv en oso shvua. The Kal v'Chomer is not based on hodas piv, because hodas piv in a sense is superior to edim, but to the case of eid echad. If eid echad is enough to be mechayv a shvua, that's one of the three shvuas d'oraisas, shvuas eid echad. So if the plaintiff supports his claim, his suit against the defendant with the testimony of one aid, then the defendant will have to take a shvua to be machish the aid. Even though, again, aid echad is certainly less powerful than two aidim, aid echad is not machayev mamon. Aidim, on the other hand, two aidim are machayev mamon, then certainly they have the ability to machayev shvua. So Gemara says, wait a minute, mal aid echad, shekein al mashu meid hu nishba. And here we turn to the Avdalad of Manal Tomar, be aidim. In other words, we find that the chiv shvu in the case of eid echad is relatively kal, because al mashu meyed nishba. In other words, the power of an eid echad is limited in the fact that his power only extends to generate a chiyuv shvua on the part of the defendant to be machish, to contradict what the aid says. We don't find that he has the power to be mashbia on something that he doesn't testify. But in the case of Edim, their power in hilchas shvua is absolutely amazing, because if Edim testify on part of a tviya, the nitba will have to take a shvua on the other half of the tviya through the principle of modu v'miktzas. Sharei al masha kofar hu nishba. This is all the question of the Gemara. It's a rhetorical question. Is it possible that the Eidim could be mechayev on the other half? You want to tell me that based on this Kal v'Chomer Eid Echad, there could be a shvuas modu v'miktzas, meaning the two Eidim testify on 50, and they're going to generate a shvua that the nitbas to be makish the Eidim on the other 50? That doesn't make any sense. The only chiyuv shvua that we found, the fundamental basis of Eid Echad, is mashahu kofaru nishba, that he has to take a shvua to be makish the Eid. So from that shvua Eid Echad, you're going to derive conclusions about shnei Eidim and modu v'miktzas, where you want to establish a chiyuv shvua on something which the Eidim are not even testifying about. That's how great you want to derive is Da'il of Amin Adin Lios Kinnadu. Elom Rav Papa, and this will take up Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, Rav Papa is going to reformulate the Kal v'Chomer of Abchia based on a din, a principle called Gilgul Shvuah. We'll stop here.